Many victims of child sexual abuse over the years, over the decades, tell strikingly similar stories. Primarily, of course, about the abuse itself and all the horrors it wrought on each individual. In some cases, attempts to tell other people about the abuse or bring the abusers to justice saw the victims being ignored or even criticised by people in authority. Then there are the long-term effects of child sex abuse. It frequently results in victims being unable to trust anyone, having an inbuilt fear of intimacy. Forming loving relationships of any kind can be impossible. Some victims suffer even greater difficulties, serious mental illnesses. Some take their own lives. The full extent of child sex abuse in the United Kingdom over the years and its effects are not known. Every month seems to bring fresh revelations. Jimmy Savile and other celebrities, abuse in children's homes. In some of our towns and cities, widespread abuse has taken place, and we know the authorities sometimes blame the victims. And then there is the child sex abuse that takes place every day in the homes of apparently ordinary, happy families. It's against that background that victims had placed some hope in a formal government inquiry into historical child sex abuse. It's not going well. Here's our political correspondent, Ross Hawkins.
Eddie, this was the inquiry that was meant to reassure those survivors of abuse and the country at large that the establishment would learn those lessons of the past, that those at the top of British public life were going to stamp out abuse and not cover it up, as the Prime Minister explained back in July.
I'm absolutely determined that we're going to get to the bottom of these allegations and we're going to leave no stone unturned to find out the truth about what happened. That is vital. It's also vital that we learn the lessons right across the board from these things that have gone wrong. And it's also important that the police feel that they can go wherever the evidence leads.
At the inquiry's head would be a former judge, an unimpeachable figure with a remarkable career, Lady Butler Sloss. Theresa May, the Home Secretary, explained how 5 days later she was gone.
I reject entirely any suggestion that she wasn't the right person to do this, but she has to do the job. She has taken the decision herself. I'm disappointed. I continue to consider her to be somebody of impeccable integrity.
The unexpected problem, Lady Butler Sloss's brother, Sir Michael Havers, her late brother, the Attorney General when allegations were made in the 80s. Then the Home Secretary said a new chair would be announced as soon as possible. That turned out not to be possible until September the 5th, when the Lord Mayor of London, Fiona Wolfe, was given the job. But the papers soon learned that Fiona Wolfe lived on the same street as Lord Britton, the former Home Secretary who denies any wrongdoing about the way he'd handled a so-called dossier about high-profile paedophiles in the 1980s. In fact, they'd had dinner together on 5 occasions. The person who was now in charge of this inquiry and Lord Britton. Appearing before the scrutineers of the Home Affairs Select Committee, she revealed that there were 3,000 names on her Christmas card list, but she insisted...
Well, I'm not a member of the establishment, and I've never been a member of any of the institutions, apart from a member of the City of London Corporation, which is a role where it takes care of a very small number of children, put it that way. So I begin with a denial of being a member of the establishment, depending on what you mean by that. But I think more importantly, I have a steely determination to deliver this inquiry for the. For the victims and for the public, and it would be down to me to convince anybody of that determination.
The MPs heard that and were unconvinced by the evidence and by the fact a letter explaining her social links had been redrafted 7 times and shared with the Home Office in the process. But Eddie, it wasn't really the MPs who mattered. It was the survivors and their representatives. They went into a meeting with officials from the inquiry today, convinced that Mrs. Wolfe should go. They left with their minds unchanged. This is the lawyer, Alison Miller.
My perspective, which is what I hear from my clients, was also repeated by organisations who support many hundreds or thousands of survivors. They have said that they have had really numerous calls to their helplines about the inquiry, and only a very small number of those people have confidence in Fiona Wolf, and other people are saying that if she remains, they will simply turn their back on the inquiry. They cannot engage with it.
Eddie, some told me that they'd had no contact with the inquiry or the Home Office until last week. They weren't even sure whether they'd be able to get their travel today reimbursed. The victims were being taken for granted, one said. Those same victims who held the power to evict a second chair from her position. It prompts questions. Why did the Home Office not work harder to win their trust? And what can it do? Who on earth can it appoint to make good on the promise of an inquiry made by the Home Secretary and Prime Minister all those months ago?